Today's first reading is Psalm 96, verses 11 to 13. Let's hear it from sky, with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels, animals come dance. Put every tree of the forest in the choir, an extravaganza before God who is coming. For God, who is coming to set everything right on earth, set everything right, treat everyone fair. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the letter to James, chapter 1, verse 17a. Every generous act of giving, along with every good gift, is from above, coming down from the Creator of lights. Will you pray with me? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I'd like to invite forward Sharon Kobolitz for our next in our conversational sermon series, Becoming Theologians, where we take a look at moments from the lives of ordinary folks in our congregation to see where we can experience God. Yeah.
Don't worry, I don't have a lot of show and tell.
I brought the show and tell, but Sharon's bringing the stories. It's going to be good. So, thank you for joining me today. Yeah, remember to hold the mic up pretty close.
Yeah.
All right. One of the ways that I think of you, Sharon, is as an evangelist of delight, of awe. Does anyone else think of Sharon that way? Yeah. So, if you've had the good fortune of experiencing, as I have, Sharon sharing something with you that she loves and enjoys, know what I mean. And Sharon was the person who, for example, introduced me to open water swimming. We went to Walden, and she said, oh yeah, let's try this, let's swim. You can use my swim buoy. We're gonna swim across the width of Walden, so like the shorter part, right? Y'all, I almost died. I didn't actually almost die. I pulled a muscle, but I was hooked. After that, I was hooked, and Sharon sort of accompanied me on that journey of, can do a little more, can go a little further. Here's where you can buy your own swim buoy. And she also introduced me to paddleboarding.
Right.
And actually gave us our first paddleboard. And I love that you share those moments and experiences for you that are so life-giving, so generously. So speaking of swimming, I wondered if you would tell the story that you told me about your experience with your neighbor and swimming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think most of you know, if you're friends with Leah on Facebook, she does a lot of posting of swimming in the winter. But yes, so I'm a big
swimming. Yeah, you got me into that too.
I'm a big swimming evangelist, for sure. So I had a friend of mine who had a hip, not a hip, but a knee replacement. And she felt a little uncomfortable in her body and she wanted to move, but she didn't know what to do. And I kept on telling her, you really need to come swim. That's going to be really helpful. And she put it off. And finally, I think a year and a half after her surgery, or maybe a year after, I finally got her into the pool. And we didn't swim. One of my favorite things to do in the pool is put the belt on. Do any of you know about the belts? You know, the little buoy belts, and then you just run, because then you can still talk to your friend. And, you know, it was a very quiet day at this pool, and we did that, and she was like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, immediately her body just started to release all that tension, and she cried. And it's like, yeah, this is really good. Sorry, yeah. If you know me too, I'm a crier. So, but it was, now, I don't know if she's been back in the water, I'm sure she has, but you know, it's amazing.
Those are holy moments. Crying is also holy. I tell Sharon that every time when you're a liturgist or anything and the tears come, that is a holy moment. That's letting the Spirit in. And you because of your generosity of come do this thing and your persistence, you gave her this gift where she could experience, I think, something divine.
Yeah. Right, and I also think I didn't, you know, she was beating herself up because it took so long. And I was like, you're here now, you know, so what? It took you that long, now you've got it and you can do with it what you will, you know, so tried to just be gentle and graceful with her about the time as well.
Can you see why Sharon makes a really good swim teacher also? Yeah, because it's very, there's no judgment at all, which I love. So that was a really special experience, right? To be with this friend in that moment and to see how transformative it was for her. And that's a place where I think we definitely see God. But we don't all have extraordinary experiences every day, right? that's kind of a one-off in some ways. But you and I have talked about how if we just wait for the extraordinary experiences to come along in order to experience God, we're going to be waiting a long time. We're going to be kind of stuck without having that connection. It's kind of like being in a desert and waiting for an oasis. Those don't come along super often. And you've managed to get around that, I think, by finding awe in really everyday moments. And I wondered if you would tell us some about moonrises and mushrooms, maybe.
the M's.
Yes.
Well, mushrooms, fungus has been a waning passion, I guess I would say, and that works with the waning moon of mine. I mean, I still love them and appreciate them when I see them, but I'm not quite as crazy about them as I used to be, I guess. I very much appreciate them because I think that they are such a foundation to the ecosystem. You know, you look at the forest and you think about without those fungi doing their thing underneath all of what you can't even see, like, you know, if some of you are fungus fanatics and you, even if you're not, mycelium, which I know Travis is so excited to talk about too, being a science teacher. So all of that is connecting. So first of all, it's connection. They're talking to each other and they're figuring out what the forest needs. So without that, you wouldn't really have that whole ecosystem. So I really appreciate fungus for that. And you know, you just see the top. You know, that's nothing really. You don't see the whole underneath of what's really going on. So it's kind of fun just to watch. And if any of you, I have to tell you, I haven't taken a picture of it, but if any of you walk around the res, please notice, if you haven't already, the tree that's, you know, the Lexington area, the, what is it called? The field, you know, if you walk around the res, notice that tree, because it has got some amazing fungus growing up in it. Dave, I don't know if you've noticed that when you're walking your pup, but it is amazing. So notice that if you walk around the res. Yeah. And for moonrises, we are so lucky that we live in Arlington, if all of you live in Arlington or close by, because Robbins Farm is the place to be for full moonrise. So I don't know how many of you go there. I think I've seen Debbie there once a long time ago, and Angela comes too. But it is a spectacular place. First of all, it's a community, and so everybody's there for the exact same reason. It's really good when there are photographers there, because then you know where to look if you're not really, you know, sure. And it is just amazing, first of all, just the community of it, and then just to see that big old moon coming up over the horizon, you know, and it's just like, wow, it's that's exactly the time that it said it was going to come up. You know, and then just if you're on the ocean, just thinking about what it's doing to the tide. So that's always just fun to think about too, that the reason that we have tides is because of that moon. So that's super fun to think about too. And it's gorgeous, and it's just breathtaking when you see it. Not that I love a good crescent moon too, so don't get me wrong. It's not all about the full moon, because right now it's, if you wake up early and look to the east and see that beautiful waning crescent, that's pretty spectacular as well. I'm an early sleeper, so I rarely see the moon, the waxing moon. I'm usually in bed.
Can you all tell that Sharon's career for many years was as a science teacher? Yes. And I think what I think about is most of us, our encounters with mushrooms are probably in a salad or a quiche or something, or in our yards going, ugh, why is this growing here? And you have shifted my perspective of that to say, one, to look for them in places that we might not expect them, and to appreciate them, and to say, this is, we don't have the ecosystem without mushrooms. They're such keystone species that way. And something that we would mostly walk by or go, oh, that's kind of gross, right? And same with moonrises. That happens, a full moonrise happens every month. And if we're not paying attention, we just completely miss a spectacular moment, right? So that's, I'm glad you shared about those, because to me, you're so good at taking ordinary things and going, this is something worth paying attention to. We talked about how theologian Simone Weil said that attention is the highest form of prayer. When you give something your attention, it is a prayer. So when we pay attention, as we talked about with our young people this morning, to nature all around us, especially the ordinary stuff or the happens all the time stuff, so why do we care? That opens up a connection to the spirit, I think. Yeah. Can you tell us about your philosophy about blueberry bushes, please?
I would love to. So I have a garden in the front yard, and I really don't even consider it mine, because I really try to make it nice for the people walking by my house, because it's on the corner, and so we get a lot of traffic. And I used to grow pumpkins. I have not this year, but it just brings me so much joy to see all the kids that stop along with their parents and they look to see the growth of the pumpkins. You know, I started to have I thought about having a ruler out there so they could measure them, but they just had so much fun. So I'm very sorry that I'm not doing the pumpkins, but I do have this one amazing blueberry bush, and it's, you know, it's just right in the center of the garden, and I never really think about those blueberries as mine. If I get one or two, that's great, but what makes me happy is seeing all of the birds getting their little blueberry and then, you know, flying off and just enjoying the blueberry, because I just feel like we have done so little to help this bird population, and anything I can do to make them happy. So I have water right there for them. I've got the blueberries. So I say, if they eat every blueberry, okay with me.
That is the opposite. Have y'all ever seen the blueberry nets that people put around their blueberry? Maybe some of you all do that. No judgment.
Which is
that's
no
okay.
Exactly.
I remember somebody related to this congregation talking about preserving some other vegetables they were growing as Fort Knox. Like how, you know, because you're trying to grow things that you can enjoy, right? Not naming any names. But there's another way, not better or worse, but another way to look at it, which is that this doesn't belong to me, or not to me only. This can be a gift for everyone or everything, every creature around me. And I loved that story because it just completely flips our perspective. And I think it connects into our scripture today that all good gifts come from God. And so who are we to hold on to those so tightly and think that they're just for us or just for our little right. circle? Most people probably don't realize it walking past your yard, but that's like a public witness to a very different theology, I think, than most of us have. So I love that. I was wondering if you would share, as we sort of come to a close, if you would share a story about your mom mm-hmm. that I think is also about holding things lightly, having open hands, and right. not clinging too tightly. Yeah. And you can take your time.
So my mom passed away about 12 years ago, and I was so lucky to be, she had a, which I, my brain will probably not pronounce it correctly, but it's glioblastoma, if any of you know about it. It's a very aggressive brain tumor. And so that's what she had. So she had she got sick in September. And then, you know, so finally when we figured out what it was, I don't even know if she knew how aggressive it was and that she didn't have long anyway if they even worked on it. And the day that, you know, we figured it out and the day her neurologist and everybody else sat down, to discuss the next steps, my mom went, there are no next steps. I'm not doing any treatment. And they were a little shocked. And they were like, well, you know what this means, right? And Mom said, yeah, I know exactly what this means. You know, I'm not going to do this. And, you know, now I'm thinking about it after talking to Lee about it. I don't know if Mom wanted to not put us through it, or if she just said, you know, what am I gaining, you know, here maybe another 6 months. And so she decided to live, you know, her best life with what she had. So she was fine with it. I totally understood. She's always been a woman of faith. I mean, I grew up, my dad was a minister, and so she had a deep faith as well. And she knew, she was not scared. She was not uncomfortable. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. And she left the doctors in tears, both the doctors. She was fine. And she gave them, she had to give comfort them. Which was hilarious. So she gave them a hug. She said, drink a little water. You'll be fine. You can come back and talk to me anytime that I'm still here. You know,
we see where you get it, Sharon.
So, you know, and she had a really, that brought our family so close together those last few months with her. You know, so I guess that was just a profound moment of her being brave.
It's such a moving story to me because, again, I think it's very natural, it's very human to want to hold on to life and to squeeze as much as we can out of it. But there's so much in scripture and our faith stories that say if we can loosen that just a little bit, there are going to be a lot of blessings because God gives to us freely and abundantly. And so if we can hold those things in a way that says, this is a gift, this was a gift to me, and so it's for sharing or it's for appreciating and not for kind of suffocating. And she did that so beautifully. And I can tell how, you know, it's obviously a witness to those doctors and how touching and moving that was, how meaningful that was for you and for your siblings. I know that you brought a couple of books that you wanted to tell people about because she's got some good ones, and so you might want to either write this down or obviously you can go back and re-listen or re-watch the sermon later. But do you want to show us the books?
To.
Okay, good.
So one book, you know, is about awe. And I love it that it's so scientific because, of course, as a scientist, you can't just have awe, right? Because that's huge. So in this book, they break it down. They have the taxonomy of it, which is just so lovely. So there's 8 different areas of awe, and one of them is life and death. One of them, of course, is nature. And, of course, one of them is spiritual and religious. So that I thought was just such a delightful book to have.
It's called Awe, the New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life. And I'm going to butcher this name, but Dacher Keltner.
Yeah.
So Awe by Dacher Keltner.
And I can have these books.
Yeah, I'll try to remember to send out an email tomorrow. Okay.
And then the other one, there's a lot, again, as a scientist, there's a lot of research going on, so much research now about your spiritual life and your brain and how helpful it is. So when we pray together, how that really affects not only just your spiritual, but your physical being, which is just amazing to me. So there's a lot of podcasts on Hidden Brain about spirituality and you know, what it's doing and how good it is for you. So that's amazing. And then this is just how God changes your brain. So this is just when I started to try to make the connection with your spiritual life. So this is how God, and again, it's from a neuroscientist. So there's lots of neuroscientists that are working on, take that.
And the authors are Andrew Newberg and Mark Robert Waldman, How God Changes Your Brain.
And then the last book is really accessible to anybody. I used to do this with my students in class, and this is called The Art of Noticing, 131 Ways to Spark Creativity and Find Inspiration and Joy in Everyday Life. And these are just really simple. Like some of them are just saying, focus on a color, try to find numbers in nature. You know, so just all kinds of ways just to focus and just be with nature for a little bit. So this is just a very fun and accessible book that I use a lot.
So The Art of Noticing by Rob Walker. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing those books, and more importantly, for sharing your stories and your way of seeing the world. And I think one thing I hear is that it's a practice, right?
It is
it's something that we have opportunities to do all the time, every day, but that it takes a little bit of practice to get into reminding ourselves to notice. And it sounds like some of those books could be helpful in cultivating that. Thank you so much, Sharon. And would the people say amen? I'm going to tease Sharon just for a second here and say that I did choose a stewardship hymn for the last hymn, and she is our stewardship deacon, but I hope you got a sense of how much that permeates her life and can permeate ours, regardless of whether we wear that particular hat in church. Next week, please join us for the next in our conversational sermon series with Jude Martowska, who's going to be talking about working with kids and all sorts of other good stuff. I think you're really going to enjoy that one as well. And now, go in peace out into the world and out into your week with your senses attuned to awe, to the wonder that we find in creation, that we find in relationship, that we find in living and in dying. And open your hearts and your hands to that so that you might experience God in ordinary moments, but in really extraordinary ones as well. Go in peace.